Today, I want to speak to you on a title of a message called Godly Leaders. It's when I'm reading through it, and I'm actually going to use verse 7, and then it highlights godly leaders in verse 17. So I'm not going to go with verse 8 today. I'm going to talk about that next week, but I'm going to do 7, and then if you look later in the chapter, it has 17. It's like, well, let's put both of these together. And when I have the title of the message, Godly Leaders, it's one of those interesting times for me to speak because, well, I'm kind of like a leader of this church. You know, I'm not the only leader of this church by any means, but you kind of look to me as pastor, as a leader of this church. And obviously Jesus is a leader, but he asked men and women to serve in leadership as well. Now, if you're a guest of ours and you don't attend here regularly, I encourage you to think about your leader, of who the leader is in your church. Leaders are important in our lives. Each of you that have grown up in the church can recite and give me a name of a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a Wednesday night leader or a Bible study leader that was significant in your life. One of those was a lady by the name of Lillian Smith for me. She gave me a little New Testament, a little little blue Bible that I received. Somebody impacted my life, and her name was Lillian. Now, some of these leaders in your lives have done very good. There are some leaders in your life that you look at and you think, boy, Pastor Glenn, what a leader. And you think on Pastor Glenn, and you're just like, oh my. Pastor Glenn was at so-and-so's funeral. What a wonderful job. And there's some people that are like that. You're just like, wow. There's other leaders that have been in your life that you're like, they just pretty much stunk. You had a Sunday school teacher. I served with a guy one time, and I'd ask him at times to lead the Sunday school class if I was gone as a youth pastor. And he didn't really do all that good of a job as a Sunday school teacher. Actually, he did a pretty poor job because he would stand up in front of the youth and for 45 minutes, he would talk. And he would just continue to talk. And it's like it was a lecture. And sometimes his lectures were, sometimes they were things like, well, nobody really cares about that, you know. But that man loves the Lord and he loved kids. And he was in his 60s serving with the youth group. And so some of your leaders that you think on just didn't do a very good job, maybe at a certain role, or maybe some of them just didn't do a good job. Some of them shone, and they were important, and some of them were just warm bodies. You know some of those leaders, you're like, okay, they're just putting in some time. Leaders come in all different sizes and shapes. We have leaders on the sports field. We have leaders in the political realm. We have leaders at your office or your place of work. And we also have leaders in the church. But I want to focus on two phrases today. I'm going to go around a little other places too, but I want to focus on two phrases from verse 7. And here's what they are. Leaders who spoke the word of God. And in verse 17, it says, leaders who watch over your souls. And the question I have is, what do we do with Christian leaders? Some of you in this room, whether you realize it or not, are Christian leaders. What do you do as Christian leaders? Now, you notice that I didn't say religious leaders, and you notice that I didn't say spiritual leaders, and there's a reason for that. Religious just means a routine. Now, it can mean a Christian leader, but when I use that word Christian, I mean somebody who follows Christ, and that's the leader that you want to look up to. And also, in this realm of spirituality and just wherever you want to go, a person who is a Christian leader needs to have Christ in their life, and that's the spiritual leader that we're talking about, a Christ follower. So if you join me in looking into Hebrews chapter 13, I want to point out a couple of things from verse 7 and verse 17. It's on the Bible in the rack in front of you on page 1009, or maybe you brought your own Bible, or maybe you have a gadget you like to follow along, or it's going to be on the screen behind me as well. Here's what it says in verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 17, Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. First, we need to remember our leaders, especially those who speak the word of God. So I'm thinking specifically right now of preachers and teachers. I'm glad that you're at church. You will hear the word of God today. Many pastors have been faithful in sharing the word of God to us, and I believe that's a wonderful thing. You should be grateful for that. Or those Bible study leaders that have said, hey, let's look into God's word. In recent days, there's been some of you who have said to me, man, that sermon spoke to me today. That encourages me and blesses me to know that you come to church desiring to hear from God. I believe that's why you're here today. It's not, oh, I just have to put my time in. I need to show up and show off my new fancy Christmas gear. No, that's not it at all. We need to also do this. When it says remember your leaders, I encourage you to remember me. Remember me in your prayers. Please do that. Many of you do, and I thank you for that. Let me switch that around. I remember you. You have been prayed for today. You have been prayed that you will hear the word of God. Pastor Eric just prayed that we would understand God's word. And so please remember your leaders. This also could mean those who have passed on. I wonder, as the author was writing this book, is he saying, remember, I wonder if there's certain people that he was thinking of. Remember this leader. Remember this leader. Was he remembering maybe Hebrews chapter 11? Remember the leaders that we had. He's saying, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. You've had a number of leaders in your life, whether it be a coach, whether it be a head cheerleader, whether it be a teacher at school, whether it be a boss at your work. But this scripture is not talking just about any leader. It's talking about one who spoke the word of God to you. I wonder in your past, who the first person was to speak the word of God to you. I want you to think on that for a moment. Who do you remember as being the first person to share the word of God to you? When that person shared about God's word, it opened a whole new life to you when that happened. A whole new discovery. Remember that person. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is an interesting phrase for me because not only do you just listen to what they say, but you also just see how they live. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Here you have a great leader who stands up in front, do this, do this, do this, and this is what word of God. But then if it's not backed up in how they live, then you say, well, that's not how I should be. Powerful news that individuals had with the word of God. I'm assuming that some preachers that have gone on, you don't remember the jokes that they told. You probably don't remember all the sermons. My kids remember all the sermons that I've preached, of course. And then you don't remember all the antidotes that they have given, but you remember the person and you remember that they spoke it with fervency and with power. There's a man, and I do not know this man, and there's not as much emotion involved in this man's name as there should be possibly, but there's a man by the name of Reverend Harley Briggs. Anybody know Reverend Harley Briggs? Reverend Harley Briggs in 1963 was a pastor in a church in Oregon. And Reverend Harley Briggs spoke the word of God. And my dad, who was age 17, who was from not a Christian home, went to the service and he accepted Christ while Reverend Harley Briggs was there. I don't know Harley Briggs. I'm assuming Harley Briggs has died and went on to heaven. But because of Harley Briggs speaking the word of God, my father, who was not in a Christian home, accepted Christ at age 17, and that's changed the course of where I am at today. Harley Briggs is a very important man, and I remember Harley Briggs today because he spoke the word of God. In that time, when my dad was sitting in one of those services, I believe it was Harley Briggs, I'm not sure if it was or not, but I do know that he's told me the story that when the preacher was up front talking, my dad didn't understand some of the things that the pastor was saying. And so just right in the middle of church service, he raised his hand. And he actually happened to be going with, he was dating a girl, and she was sitting next to him, and she's like, put your hand down. This is not the right time to do that. Well, I don't understand. I have a question that I want to ask. Tomorrow, my father is driving today with my mother to Kansas City, and tomorrow they are laying to rest my dad's older brother. His name is Perry. Perry was 72, and last Sunday he was watching a football game, and his wife went upstairs to take a little nap as well, and he was in a recliner, and when she came back down, he was gone, 72 years of age. When I think of that, I think of, I was at a funeral earlier this week, and I was thinking of, I'm not sure what happens when people pass on and if it really matters all that much, but I wonder if when somebody gets to heaven, if they connect people to people and, I don't know all that. However, the reason why I'm telling you about my Uncle Perry's funeral tomorrow is this. I'm not sure the interaction my dad had with my uncle and all those interactions that happened, but Harley Briggs started it for my father, who impacted the Selfridge family. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God. Imitate their faith. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul makes a bold statement. I urge you then, be imitators of me. I say this humbly and cautiously because I want to live well. I want to die well. I want to finish well. And I think this is quite the statement Paul's making. Do you say this? Do you say this to other people? Imitate me. Imitate my life. I'm pretty good at this. Imitate me. Now, humbly, do you say that? This is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, imitate me. And here's what it says. Remember your leaders. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Of course, you know this, but let me just repeat this to you. Your life is one where others are saying, do I want to imitate that or not? Do I want to imitate their life? Some of you are parents in the room. Your children imitate you. They watch us. They hear what we say, and they do what we do. Sometimes they do is what we say. Sometimes they don't. I've heard some say, now don't imitate me. What kind of life is that? We want to live lives that are ones that other people say, they live like Christ, let's imitate them. Maybe you're one that says that. Maybe you don't even enjoy yourself. You can turn that around today. You can go a different way today. And you should only follow those that their lives show fruit. Don't follow someone else that doesn't. Let's say this. Let's say that you want to be a mechanic and you want to work on cars. Now, you want to be one that follows a mechanic, that imitates a mechanic who fixes cars correctly. You don't want to follow a mechanic who, well, I'm not sure what that rattle is, but don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I'm not sure what that, no big deal. You just take a trip to Sioux Falls, and if you don't make it, I'm sure there's a tow truck along the way. Now, is that a mechanic that you want to follow? No, you want to follow a mechanic who fixes it well, and someone is not stranded on the interstate wondering about their tire or about their engine or about something going wrong. You want to follow a mechanic who does it right. A story is told by Leslie Weatherhead about a schoolboy who decided to enter the ministry. The schoolboy said that he made the decision after hearing a certain sermon in his school chapel. He was asked the name of the preacher, and his answer was that he couldn't recall the preacher's name. I don't remember the name. All he knew was that he had shown him Jesus. And here's what Barclay says. A commentator, the duty of the real preacher is to show men nothing but Christ. If we go back to this concept that we remember in their leaders that had passed, they were able to examine and look at their lives and see if they were true. They were able to consider the outcome of their life. What will people say of you? What will people say of me when I pass? Whether it be today, or whether it be 15 years from now, or 72 years from now, what will people say when you pass? Will they say, imitate that person. Imitate their faith. Imitate that one. Wow, what a life. Now, I want you to go with me to verse 17. Here's what it says. Obey your leaders. This is easy for some of us. We're pretty obedient, some of us. Some of us are not. Some of us wrestle through this. Soon as the teacher says, sit down, we may be sitting down on the outside, but we're standing up on the inside. Obey your leaders. Obey your Christian leaders. It doesn't mean you just do whatever, but you need to obey. If you are a child in the room, if you're a teen in the room, obey your teachers. There's also a scripture that says, obey your parents. But it says also, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, obedience and submission are two different things. Some of you have trouble obeying. Some of us have trouble submitting, but you can. There's a reason why you should obey and submit. They watch over our souls, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. I am thankful for the Wesleyan Church. This is a church, First Western Church is a part of the Wesleyan denomination. Now, the Wesleyan denomination is not perfect by any means, but I submit my leadership to our district superintendent, and his name is Wesley Smith. Many of you remember him. He was at our dedication service in August. I submit to Wesley Smith. Now, you got to understand something. Pastor Wesley Smith is just a year older than me, okay? And some of you might know this, but some of you may not know this. I actually went down to Bartlesville Wesleyan College, not Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and when I arrived on campus, guess who my roommate was when I was a freshman? Wesley Smith. I roomed with our district superintendent for 1 year in college. Now, I'm not going to give you any stories, and he probably won't either. But there's a part of me that says, well, why should I submit to him? I mean, he's my age. Someday down the road, I'm assuming what's going to happen, unless, well, if I stay in this district and Pastor West stays in this district, then maybe I will never have a district superintendent younger than me. But let's say that I do. Do I say, well, I'm older. Why should I submit? I submit because the verse says I'm supposed to. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Ultimately, leaders are in the game with you. And that's where I want to camp out for the next couple moments. Leaders keep watch. Keep watch over your souls. Isn't this nice? This is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. Now, some of you are very private people. I won't ask you to show your hands because those of you who are private people would never even raise your hand. I'm private, but I'm not going to show you that I'm private because I just want to be quiet about it, and I'm just private. That's all right. A church does not save you. However, a church can help you grow, and I keep watch, not in a critical way, but in a concerned way. I keep watch for you. That's one of my roles. I believe that's who I am. In the past, I had a guy who came, and he sat with me in the office, and he told me that he wasn't going to attend First Wesleyan Church, and he shared with me why he wasn't. And I appreciate this guy coming to me and talking to me about that. Not everybody does that. But this saddened me and caused me much concern. Why? This man didn't attend our church very much. He would come, but it wasn't a whole lot. And so I'm concerned for him because who is watching over his soul? I have a list of people that attend our church. And quite frequently, I pray for each of those individuals on that list by name. And one of the things that's a challenge for me as a pastor is this. If somebody hasn't been at church for a while, what do I do with their name? As I pray for them, if I know they're not going to church anywhere, what do I do with that? This is something I wrestle through. Maybe you don't wrestle through this at all. But I'm like, do I still pray for that person? Because who is watching over their soul? Now, if they're going to another church, then I say, God bless them and allow another pastor to pray for them and watch over their soul. But there's something that's with me that I'm like, man, when do I just say, well, who cares? Some of you understand that because you're a leader as well. And maybe you're thinking of someone else that you have been involved in a Bible study with, and you're just not sure where they're at. And you're like, do I pray for him anymore, or do I just stop? There's something within you, if you're a leader, that you watch over somebody else's soul and you're concerned for them. The scripture says this. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and the entire flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Your soul is important to me. Now, I greeted several of you this morning and asked how your Thanksgiving was, and that's important to me too. Your sports, your education, your livelihood, that's important to me. But I want you to know that one of the most important things about you is your soul. That's the most important thing. So I ask, how is your soul this morning? Maybe a difficult question for you to answer, but I pray that it is well. However, if it's not, I ask that you confess of whatever and get your soul right with the Lord. As a pastor, many people aren't opposed to me praying with and for them. I'm trying to think, and I'm sure there's probably been somebody who's turned me down for me to pray with them, but most people don't mind me praying with them. However, sometimes people don't like me asking them this question of how is your soul? It's kind of invasive, isn't it, Hunter, if I say, how's your soul doing today? You're not going to answer that right now, and you don't need to. To me, to the Lord you do, I think. I was at the hospital one time. A man was having a little bit of a surgery. Actually, it was a surgery on his heart. I personally think that that's kind of a critical surgery, don't you? So, I think one of my roles, according to what God's word says, is I'm supposed to watch over the soul of a certain individual. And so I asked him, I'm not trying to put you in the grave by any means, but if you were to die, where would you go? I think he gave me an appropriate answer of going to heaven, but I will tell you that he did not like that. And actually, I was probably not supposed to go back and visit him again because he didn't like me asking him that. And I think that's kind of my role. Maybe I didn't handle that most appropriately, but he was like, now let me flip that around. John Donaldson, Connie Cordes' father, has been in the hospital. He's older. And I had a couple of quiet moments with him this week. And I just looked at John and I said, John, I'm not trying to put you in the grave. He's had a lot of health concerns. I think he's had about 29 lives, quite honestly. He has. He's continued to keep on. Now he's at a care facility. He's out of the hospital now. But I looked at him this week and I said, John, if you were to die, I'm not trying to put you in the grave, do you know where you would go? And I can't remember his exact words, but he said, yes, I do. And I said, how do you know where you'd go? And with tears in his eyes, he said, because I have peace in my soul, because salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or something like that. And I thought, praise God. I sat at a funeral this week for Maureen Perkins. Many of you know Maureen, and several of you were there. Thank you for attending the funeral. Somebody was concerned about Maureen Perkins' soul. And because they were concerned about Maureen Perkins' soul, I choose to believe that by her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, she is in heaven today. Your soul is important to me. 3 John 4 says this, no greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children follow the truth? You're not my children by any means, but there is a flock that is here. God has brought our paths together, and I long to know that you are following in the truth. Now, let me switch this around off of myself for just a moment. Who are you watching out for? Do you have some names of some individuals? And maybe you want to write those names down on a piece of paper. God has given me this flock. Because here's, I think, one of the roles that I have, and maybe you view this a little differently, but I view my role as encouraging you to preaching God's word to you for you to live it out because you have a flock. Oh, by the way, some of your flocks that you have are pretty unruly. You guys aren't nearly as unruly as some of the flocks that God has given to you. Can I have an amen on that one? Anybody want to agree with me? It's delicate business, but you have a huge responsibility. If you're a father, you have a flock. If you're a mother, you have a flock, and you have a responsibility. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a Bible study leader, if you're an Awana leader, if you are an Awana listener, you have a flock. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, it says this, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me." There are some leaders that don't care about your soul. They actually want to rip your soul out at times. There are some coaches that are like that. They don't care about you. They want the product. They want the win. But there are some who watch over your soul. Those people you hold on to. And you watch over the soul of individuals. And you may wonder, I wonder why that person continues to come and gravitate themselves to me. And you wonder why that happens. I'll tell you why it happens, because you're watching over their soul. There's something deeper that's happening there. And so you're like, why does, I'll use the name Jim. Why does Jim keep coming to me? There's a reason for that, because you are praying for that person and you are watching over their soul. Parents are leaders for their children. Parents keep watch of their children. I thought of this. I borrowed my, some of you are like, why is baby Jesus on the floor? He's not. Baby Jesus is in the manger right here. This is my daughter's bitty baby. Does this little baby have a name? Okay. I'm not sure. Does she? No, not really. Okay. I thought of a little baby. There's a couple of babies in our room today I'm not going to try this with because that wouldn't be good. But so when I thought of this word watch over, I thought of a little baby. When a little baby comes over, wow, talk about watching over a baby. Man, you're like always and just, and there's hardly a little bit of time, especially over the holidays. If there's a baby, the baby gets passed around from everybody and just gets held the whole time. You know what I mean? You've done the, oh, can I hold the little baby? But when you think about it and you have a little baby and you lay the baby down, for the most part, if it's a newborn, you can stand this far away and just be fine because you can be right here. And so I'm watching over the baby, but I'm not necessarily watching over the baby like this. I mean, that's kind of goofy. I mean, you do that at times, but you just don't, oh, I got to watch over you because I'm your father and so got to make sure. No, you don't do that. Well, after a while, you think, oh, I can get a little more confident. And so you walk a little further away. As the baby grows a little older, what happens with babies? They start moving around. Some of you have had this experience. Hopefully it wasn't this high off the ground. But then baby says, oh, I want to roll over. And then that's not a good thing because they could be hurt, broken arm, whatever it might be. But you know what? When a baby grows a little older and they can sit up, then you kind of, you could wander all the way over here. Why? Because they're not going to go anywhere, right? I'm still watching over the little baby, but not going to go any place. Now, if they get to be like Michaela's age, come here, Michaela, come here. Come stand up on the platform. Stand right up here. Just stand there. Yeah, right there, right there, yeah. So let's put Michaela a couple of years. How old are you right now, Michaela? 4. Let's wander back about 2.5 years and you have Michaela up here and she gets close to the edge of this, what might happen? So, I mean, seriously, I could come clear back here. I could come all the way back here and say, I'm watching over Michaela as a younger child, but I've got to be close enough to say, now don't step off of here. But you're pretty good to step off of here, aren't you? Can you step off of here just fine? Yeah. Now I'm watching her, making sure she might not fall. Thank you, you can be seated. But I'm still watching over her. Now, Michaela has a dad named Jeremy. Do you think I watch over him on the platform? Probably not. Why? Because I don't need to. Actually, I see Jeremy about once a week, maybe twice a week that I see Jeremy. But I'm watching over Jeremy because he's a part of the flock. It's different. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Is watching over is different. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to come into your house and say, well, okay, Deb Taylor, how are your finances today? Let me talk about that. Oh, what's this thing on the wall here? I don't think this thing should be on the wall here. No, you should put it over here. No, I'm not going to do that. But it's important to watch over the spiritual leaders in our church, the pastoral staff, watch over you. Let me give you another thing here from this last part of verse 17. Let them do this with joy. Leaders need to lead with joy. If you are a Christian leader and you're grumpy, stop. Put a smile on your face. Lead with joy. Not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage for you. If you're a guest of ours and you're following a pastor who's grumpy, start praying for joy in his life. If you think I'm grumpy, start praying for joy in my life. Hopefully over Thanksgiving you were able to laugh, and you were able to laugh a lot. Leaders need to lead with joy. Now, some of the challenge of leading with joy is not having people that follow with joy. You ever know this? Experience here just as a parent. There is sometimes less amount of joy in the Selvidge household when a child is not responding correctly or joyfully. You ever had one of those times? Sure you have. When maybe a wife's not happy or a husband's not happy or whatever is not happy, then it's not so joyful, is it? Leaders need to lead with joy, not with groaning at all. Trust in a leader that can laugh and that is full of joy. The people that you are leading, do you lead with joy or are you groaning? Now, I understand this. Church is a little stickier than families because sometimes we come in and say, well, I don't know that tree should have went there. You know, it should have went over about 3 inches because it'll just look so much better there. And those trees aren't right there. And so we can get groaning here. Oh, isn't it great? We have Christmas. Lead with joy. Well, I don't know about the food and fellowship time. We don't have Jerry cakes and donuts, donut holes today. We have these other ones. And I just don't know. Don't groan. Be joyful that we have donut holes. You know, if we had service at 8:45 and at 12 instead of 8:30 and 10, it'd be so much better. You know, that's all right. We have it at 8:30 and 10. Be joyful. Don't be a burden. Be joyful. If you are a leader, you know having joyful followers sure helps you out when they jump in and say, great. So let the leaders lead with joy. Remember those who lead and speak God's word to you. I watch over your souls. If you're a Christian leader, speak God and speak about his word. Lead with joy. Here's what Oswald Chambers says. We have to concentrate on the great point of spiritual energy, the cross, to keep in contact with that center where all the power lies, and the energy will be let loose. We have not brooded enough on the tragedy of Calvary or on the meaning of redemption. Remember those leaders who have preached the word of God to you. Consider their outcome. And then obey and submit, for they watch over your souls. Please remain seated. I want to pray with you today. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Before I pray, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm concerned for everybody's soul that's in the room today. I'm assuming many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that has not. That concerns me. Because if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then your eternity is not in heaven. And so I want to pray for you today. I also am going to pray for some of you who are individuals in the room who would say that your soul is the Lord. Your soul belongs to the Lord, but your soul is not at rest today. So I'm going to pray for you as well. And let me share this. If you need to quietly jump out of your chair this morning and come kneel at the altar, we have an altar here for you to come and pray. And maybe God is asking for you to come and kneel for the very first time and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or maybe there's something that causing unrest in your soul that you'd just like to come and kneel this morning up front. Stand quietly with me, and I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word that we can hold on to. Thank you that in your word it says that your word will not return void. And I believe that your word has been shared today. I ask Heavenly Father for every person in this room. I ask, Lord, that if there be somebody here that has not accepted you as Savior and Lord, they've never repented of their sins, that they would take care of this soul issue today and they would say yes to you. They weren't even planning this, but yet they came to church. And you have come and said, I want you as my own. I want you a part of the flock. And so, Lord, would you help that individual say yes to you, repent of their sins, and ask for you to come into their hearts and their lives. Lord Jesus, I think of some mothers in this room. Their soul is full of unrest. Their soul is not at ease. Their soul is tormented. I just pray, God, in the quietness of the moment, that you would allow them to give that issue to you. That they would say yes to you. And that they would say that they are following after you and agreeing with what you have for them. And so, Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, I pray that you would be with every soul that's in this room. As they walk out of the sanctuary doors in just a couple of moments, they would have great rest in their souls. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those leaders. Thank you for Harley Briggs and other names, Willard and B. Stone, those grandmothers who watched over us, watched over for somebody that has passed on, that has been passed on to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those leaders. May we be ones that rise up as leaders for you. Give us the opportunity to share about you this week with every person we come in contact with, and may they see you living in and through our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. Be with us all today and all this week. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.